Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates in popular culture from chimpanzee all the way down to chimpanzee. I'm your host, Matt Stewart, and I'm joined by the official second banana of the show. He's host of the gaming show Gaming Game, which is a gaming show of games and about games for games. It's Evan Munro-Smith.
Hey, I just realized I can demask.
Yeah. Oh, he's revealed himself. There he is.
This is so unusual. We're back physically in the same room, and we're technically allowed to have our masks off for, you know, these sort of recording purposes. That's just, you know, so people know.
Because, I mean, COVID is pretty respectful of podcasting. It knows during a podcast that it should not jump from person to person.
Yes. It's rude to do so during a podcast.
Very, very rude. Very rude.
I mean, we're also 1.5 meters away, and we are only two people, which is the maximum allowed in the size room that we're in. So we're all, you know, we're
ticking all the boxes,
following all the rules.
We're both feeling healthy, showing no symptoms. Yes. Of temperature checked. We've also done a full body lather, which I think Evan. I'm actually not sure, Evan, if this is even in the COVID plan, but he insisted upon it. So. We've lathered up. I'm not even sure what is this. What is it, buttermilk?
It sounds delicious.
I mean, it smells great. And yeah, maybe it'll be good for the skin. I'm not sure.
I reckon it would be.
So we're now getting to the halfway point of season two of The Umbrella Academy. Today talking about...
getting into the business end.
Episode 5 of a 10-episode season. And what an episode. Oh, it really got primate heavy. I mean... relative to the rest of the season.
Yeah. Certainly started strong anyway.
It did. Jeez, I'm like, oh, I'm in primate heaven right now. Chimp, I was about to say chimp. Chimp. I'm in
I don't know
chimp.
What you're getting at.
I'm not getting, I'm something will come up. I'll just start the sentence and it'll end with something good.
The episode is called Valhalla.
Yeah, I was in more like Val... Val-Apa. What is Valhalla? Some sort of heaven, right?
Something like don't know. I was going to ask you.
I'm pretty sure it's like a Nordic.
Yeah, I've googled
level
it.
Of heaven or something.
Old Norse, the Hall of the Slain.
Oh,
so I guess that is something.
It's located in Asgard, ruled by the god Odin. So it's a Marvel thing.
Yeah. Half of those who die in combat travel to Valhalla upon death, led by Valkyries, while the other half go to the goddess Freya's field, Folkvanger.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think Stan Lee came up with the concept of Valhalla and about 20, 30 years ago.
But so half go to one and half go to the other, but how is it decided? Is that like a heaven and hell thing?
Or? I think it's more like a eeny, meeny, money, mo.
Right, lucky.
Have you ever played Duck, Duck, Goose? A similar sort of scenario. Everyone sitting in a circle, and then Odin goes around the back going, duck, duck. Only he actually says, Valhalla, 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 Forvagar. And then he runs around, and then the Forvagar person has to run around him in the field. So
yeah, okay.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that
sounds like a fun game.
Yeah, it is fun. Well, not only a fun game, a fun afterlife.
Yeah, right.
And that's forever as well.
I can't immediately see where it relates to the episode, but...
no.
Last,
because last week's one was clear. It was called The Majestic 12, and in it, there was a group called The Majestic 12.
Yeah, very direct.
Oh, I know why it is. It's It's because one of the Swedish guys dies.
Oh.
And they burn his leg.
Spoiler alert.
Okay, we'll get to that. That's got to be what it is, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, it feels like a stretch if that's all it is.
I had another thought, but maybe it's tenuous. But anyway, maybe we can
when we get up to that piece, you can let us know. All right, so this is the synopsis for the episode. Summoned to an emergency meeting, the siblings hatch very different plans for how to spend their last 6 days on Earth. Leela confronts her mother.
Yeah, right.
The
Lila,
and her mother is
Chelsea Handler. The emergency meeting is kind of an interesting.
Yeah, because it just felt like they kind of all rolled up together to catch up a bit.
Yeah.
In the first season, they called some emergency meetings, but it wasn't like that this time around, was it?
I mean, I don't know. Five made an effort. But it's like, how urgent can it be if we're five episodes in? Like, nothing's happened really to call.
Mm.
Like, there's still just five trying to get people together to save the world.
Was the interesting thing when the meeting was called, everyone already knew the world was coming to an end apart from Klaus.
Yeah, no one thought to tell him.
No.
That's fair enough, I suppose.
But before that, we start in a flashback going all the way back to the year before.
Yep.
To 1962. And we see Pogo, a young Pogo chimpanzee who we met in an earlier episode this season. Obviously, we met him for the first time in the first season as an old Pogo, but baby Pogo we met a few episodes ago.
Is this like them trying to do baby Yoda?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, he's very cute.
He's very cute,
yeah. CGI chimp. And he's very sort of an advanced chimp. They're testing him for...
Yeah, so he's delivered to this sort of science lab in a...
From the Congo?
Crate, yeah.
I think it said.
And yeah, they're training him for... It's like maybe a NASA thing, maybe? I don't know. I don't know. They're training him for like a space program, it seems.
Yeah.
Putting him through all those paces. And Sir Reggie is there sort of in the back watching on through all his training. And they send him out to space in a little spaceship.
Yeah.
It's fun.
And he's sort of he looks like he's doing pretty well. Yeah. Oh, and the main trainer, sort of the Jane Goodall type character, although I don't know if Jane Goodall did those kind of tests. She was more out in the wild, wasn't she? But
more of an observer.
Yeah, so the main scientist trainer is the woman who the actress who plays Grace.
Yeah, right. I wasn't sure. I don't know.
We're still assuming it's not actually Grace, right?
Yeah. I assume she's not a robot.
Yeah.
But is it her? I don't know.
Oh, maybe it wasn't. She looked like her.
Maybe it was. But she also looks different in this time period to when she's...
Yeah, a robot.
Sort of a robot.
In 40 years' time. Oh, you keep talking about it. I'll look that up to make sure.
All right, cool. Yeah, I was wondering, I thought it was interesting sending Pogo to space. Were they trying to send him to the moon like Luther?
It did. It feels like this show is a bit obsessed with the moon.
Yeah.
In the first season, Luther got sent to the moon, then the moon exploded, then... now they've sent a chimp into space. All right, I mean, three things across 15 episodes. Obsessed might be strong.
Yeah. But that's, I don't know, that's kind of interesting. I wonder what was... I still don't know what Sir Reggie's up to. I still don't know what he's trying to, you know, what his plan is. Why is he interested in apes? It comes up again later, his interest in apes. He's a bloody mystery at the moment. So he's sent up in this spaceship, but something goes wrong and the spaceship blows up. He is injured. Injured in this what would you call it? An accident.
Yeah, we're just coming on re-entry.
Yeah,
the craft burnt up.
Yeah, right. So that leaves him sort of. Scarred and
it was
stuff,
mirroring the Luther's injuries in season one. His origin story of becoming the ape man. In this case, though, this is a chimpanzee becoming a man ape.
Yeah.
It's so like it is the just, exact it's a reverse.
Exact reverse. And so, yeah, and so Reggie is the one that he's Pogo's there on, you know, drawing his last breath sort of thing. And so Reggie comes in with a syringe with some sort of serum in it. It looks like blood. I wound it back. So I'm like, oh, I wonder if it's the same. I wonder if it's like the light balls. I wonder if he's using those to. But it wasn't that. It seems like some sort of blood that he's injecting or something, or, you know, blood-like substance, serum, and that basically straight away brings him back to life, like how Luther was brought back to life when he was injected with maybe the same serum or maybe the. Did we assume that was Pogo's blood?
Yeah, I think we did, but now I'm guessing it probably wasn't, right?
Yeah, I wonder if this is the same liquid or some variant. What, I don't know. Is this something that Reggie has invented? I don't know.
This is Jordan Claire Robbins, who played Grace in season one. She's credited as Grace.
Oh, it is her. Okay, great.
So maybe either it's the human called Grace, who Reggie then goes on to create a robot based on Grace, or this is all, like, just an early version of Grace the robot.
Yeah, right.
But they've shown no indication. It seems like it's a human.
I think it. Yeah.
It being her.
I think she's a human. We see so they Pogo is sort of brought back to life, and we sort of see a bit of him. So I guess Reggie sort of takes him under his wing a bit.
But it instantly cures his burns.
Yeah, right. Did you notice
that? It was just like cured right in front of our eyes.
Yeah, that's amazing. I wonder what it is.
Seems great. I'd love to get that.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
It would absolutely ruin the Band-Aid market.
Yeah. So we see Reggie reading to Pogo, and he's reading in ancient Greek. I think it might be like Homer's Odyssey or something. He says something about Homer.
Because isn't that what Five yelled out to him, Reggie, last week?
Yeah, so that must be what he reads to his kids. He reads a passage in English as well. So I guess this is where Pogo is absorbing the language.
Right.
You know, and becoming smart through the book. And there's like at the end of this sort of sequence, they do the umbrella sort of Academy logo thing, but it's over a... like a crayon drawing of, you can see their little family. It's Reggie and it's Pogo and Grace. And they're a happy little family, I guess.
That's beautiful. It's a really sweet moment.
Yeah.
Compared to, I think, maybe the last episode that... So every episode starts with a different umbrella logo. Last week it was in blood from someone that Lila had killed.
Oh, right, yeah.
Lila?
Lila.
Lila. Okay. I should be able to remember that.
The one that isn't from Futurama.
Right, yes.
So back in 1963, the future from where we just were,
yeah.
Back to the future. Continuing straight on from the end of last week's episode, Reggie has driven away from the Mexican consulate.
Even though he yelled out some Homer words.
Yeah, even though he spoke in Greek, he just brushed it off like it was nothing and drove away. We see the Five and Lila are there with Diego as well. Five is sort of angry and very suspicious of Lila after seeing her her moves. She obviously knows how to look after herself.
Saying in the last week's episode, I'm like, it's so silly. Surely they're like, why is she such a good fighter?
Yeah.
And then I just had to wait till the next conversation. They're like, why are you such a good fighter? What are you hiding?
Yeah.
It was exactly how they should have reacted. So that was a relief when they did that.
Yeah.
Because I found it really frustrating when it looked like they weren't going to do that.
They just weren't going to address it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she sort of just brushes it off, but now Diego is a bit suspicious. He's like, yeah, why are you good at fighting? Why didn't you help me?
Well, yeah. He said I was getting my ass handed to me.
Yeah. So it's a bit of trouble for Lila. She's kind of out of the group with all of that. We see Klaus is quite hungover after his bender. He's on the kitchen floor at Allison's place. He shares his troubles with Allison. They sort of bond over how shitty their lives are, I guess, at the moment, because Allison is sort of having a bit of a separation from her husband. So that neither of them are in great spirits, really.
And it, well, the first thing that happens is Klaus is talking to Ben. So we see them having a conversation. Allison comes in and says, speaking to another ghost. Klaus, for some reason, is keeping it a secret that Ben's come through the time travel.
Yeah.
He said, just some cowboy. There's lots of cowboy ghosts here in Texas. And then later in the episode, someone asks if Ben came through.
Yeah.
And he said, no. Turns out ghosts can't time travel. Just being an asshole. Yeah,
even though it was right there. And it's interesting. I did wonder why. I wondered if Ben is annoyed. Does Ben want them to know that he's there, or is this?
I think he does, because he said "come on" or something at one point. And
he doesn't seem too fussed about it though. Like
he's just used to Klaus being a bit of an asshole to him.
It would be frustrating if you had a really great idea or something, and you're just like, and Klaus just won't let you communicate.
But I'm guessing it's got to be important for the plot somehow for the others to not know he's there in a future episode. Otherwise, I don't really understand why.
Didn't this happen in the previous season? Klaus would also. There were a couple of times where he also said that Ben wasn't there.
That's true. Yeah,
when they were voting maybe about something, and so. Yeah, I don't know. He seems to do this a bit, but ultimately Ben was there for the big fight at the end of season one. He was there and, you know, he played his part.
And also in the first episode of season two, when we saw the supposed end of the world that's coming, he was there fighting the Soviets as well.
Yeah, right.
Wasn't he?
I don't remember.
Octopussing him, I think.
Okay. That makes sense. So Allison is sort of sympathetic to Klaus, and they go off to do some day drinking.
Yeah, first she smells what he's drinking, goes, oh, yuck. And Ben goes, that a girl.
Because Ben's trying to...
He's trying to stop Klaus from falling off the wagon completely.
Yeah.
He says that a girl, and then she goes... We can do better than this. If we're going to day drink, I've got much better alcohol.
It would be nice to have a Ben, I think, like a voice of reason in your life.
Yeah. Yep. You don't have one of them in your head?
The voice in the back of my head. Oh, look, I probably do have inklings sometimes.
All that day drinking has really shut them up, hasn't it, Evan?
Yeah.
So then we cut to Vanya and Sissy in bed morning after. And they're chatting about how great it all is and how, well, I don't say love, but, you know, they're clearly feeling the love for each other.
Yes.
They were talking about having a lazy day in bed. And then Carl, the deadbeat dad, rolls in earlier than expected, and they sort of panic, or Sissy does. And
yeah, because they're in his bed, right? I guess
Well, I think she's in her bed.
Well, yeah, but I mean that they're their bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. At that point, she's having an affair, so
yeah,
she's about to be busted having an affair.
Yeah, so I guess I didn't really think about that. Yeah. So that's going to be a problem for them.
I think it doesn't feel like that because he's such an asshole.
Yeah. He's so absent. Like he's one of these characters who's there, but you really don't see him very much. And when you do see him, he's not a huge focus on things.
During that scene before he arrived, I did think, I'm like, have they just like stopped writing him into episodes?
Yeah. Single time I forget what he looks like.
Yeah, he's got one of those faces.
Yeah, okay, so that'll be a problem for them. What else is going on? Luther and Diego, they're hanging out with Five. They're kind of blaming Five for everything that's gone wrong, because they were doing okay until Five rocked up and dragged them into all this stuff. So they're kind of right there, but nevertheless, the world is still going to end. So they
Five does, he denies that it's his fault. He's like, it doesn't have anything to do with me, but something has happened here. He apologizes later for the time traveling going awry, but I mean, it was either that or get exploded by the moon.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why he's really apologizing. He saved all of their lives.
Yeah, I guess, yes, he did. He definitely did.
But he also kind of set in motion the moon exploding, the events that led to that. But also it was going to end anyway, as we saw.
Yeah, it's a bit, definitely a bit complicated as to whose fault is what and what would have happened if other things didn't happen. But, yeah, I don't know. There's a bit of a conversation later about Diego saying that they came back here for a reason. It's because, you know, it's because they need to save JFK. Like, he believes that that they all landed here by fate or something.
Because, yeah, a few of them, well, he started out strong with his list. He's like, Luther works for the guy who ends up killing his killer.
Yeah, right.
He says something about he's connected to the killer and Allison is working in politics.
Yeah.
And then it sort of fades out from there.
It's like Klaus is done, is it? So it's probably related in some way. So his theory is that they're all somehow connected to this, to JFK's assassination.
And they have got footage. They've seen footage of their dad on the grassy knoll.
Yeah, I mean, it is all weirdly connected, but how does that link up with five? Why would five have done it?
It was like the universe sent them there. I guess what
maybe
he's
subconsciously, thinking. Yeah, tapped into something and landed in that particular time and place. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out.
I suppose so.
But yeah, he's basically going, let's get the gang back together. So after Carl gets home, he's letting Sissy and his son Harlan and Vanya know about this big deal he's closed and
his big shower accessories deal or whatever.
And then he gets horny, I guess, from it. He's made a sale and now
he's in a good mood.
He's in a good mood. and Vanya's starting to so Harlan's playing Operation.
Yeah.
And that gong sound. It's not a gong sound, what
it's
is
a,
it?
It's a buzzer.
The buzzer keeps going off.
So Sissy's in the kitchen and Carl's in the kitchen and he's sort of like trying to come on to her and she's sort of, you know, sort of pushing him back a bit and he's just getting a bit aggressive.
Yeah, he's like right in front of his son and a guest.
Yeah.
It's just a weird, an awkward scene.
A very weird thing, yeah.
And then so Vanya jumps in to stop him. Sissy tells her to back off. And Vanya's powers are starting to, she's hearing the sounds of the buzzer and her powers are starting to come up. And she ends up just cracking a window and that sort of breaks the tension.
Yeah. Didn't destroy the world.
No, just one window.
Yes.
That's a confusing situation for Vanya and Sis, well, for everyone in that family, I guess.
Yeah, it's definitely...
Apart from Carl, who's just a big oblivious doofus slash...
Yeah. What happened to my window?
Yeah, just sort of misogynistic, old school sleazeball.
Well, but of the time.
Oh, it was a different time.
I guess it is.
And I think that's why to Vanya it feels very uncomfortable, and Sissy's sort of saying this is just how it is almost.
Yeah, yeah. Vanya's a relative to all them is a radical feminist, I suppose.
to the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You shouldn't talk to your wife like that. Yeah. All right, you're radical.
we skipped over something in the previous scene, an important thing, that Luther reveals that the first thing he did when he landed in the 1960s was he took a bus and he went to go visit his dad.
Right.
And so we see this in a flashback where... We see, yeah, he's seen him get on the bus. He hasn't quite got enough money, but the bus driver's like, oh,
$0.07 short.
Give me what you
and get. The bus driver, they really focus on how much he stinks. The bus driver mentions it as he walks into the Reggie's house. Everyone sort of notes it. Oh, this guy stinks.
Yeah.
And Reggie says it to him. The stench of failure is all over you.
He's an ape.
Give him a break. He's an ape man. Who you turned him into an ape man in the future. You wouldn't understand, but okay, give him a break.
He goes to the family house that we've seen in, you know, the previous season, and we see a younger Sir Reggie entertaining a crowd.
Yeah, he's really schmoozing them.
It's the life of the party.
Yeah,
it's cracking jokes and stuff. It's a side of him we haven't seen much of.
No,
he's normally very just mysterious and stoic. Anyway, so Luther basically goes right up to him and says, "I'm your son."
Yeah.
It's a great opening line.
As he's been practicing on the bus.
Yeah.
This is going to sound crazy, but I'm your son. No, you're not.
Yeah, Reggie just flat out is like, "Nope, you don't." Yeah. And he's like, "No, yeah, I'm from the future." He's like, "No, you're not."
He's like, I believe in time travel, but I hate kids.
Yeah, he
That's
says,
where your plan
he thinks he's a spy.
Yeah.
He says, "Go back to your KGB or whatever." He says the flaw in your whole story is I would never have kids. And then it's, it cuts back to Luther and he's like, I took a bus. It's great. He's a funny actor.
Yeah, he's got great timing. But he is, just sort of a tragic comedy figure in this.
Yeah. So that's a bit of fun.
So then Lila is talking to her mum, the handler, Chelsea Handler, and she's like, "What the hell? You said the Swedes and I were all working together, but they were there and they screwed everything up. They came in and they were taking down Five and Diego, and it blew everything up. I blew my cover and that sort of stuff." She said, "You said they're all here, we're all here together," and so the handler has to concede that the commission actually doesn't even realize that either of them are there. The Swedes are there for the commission, but Lila and the handler are there secretly.
So yeah, that's kind of as we suspected.
Yeah,
we thought
something was going on, but she didn't clear up why they're there, who they're there for, or what their plan is. And she wouldn't tell that to Lila either. She said she's basically on a needs to know basis.
Yeah.
And she doesn't need to know.
But Lila delivers the handler Diego's knife, which is interesting.
Yes.
What do they need that for? We'll find out later. So Five wants to get the gang back together. So they've got Vanya is now at this Elliot's place with Diego and Luther. This is basically their base. This is the first time Diego's seen Vanya since the big end of season finale last season, and so he's got a bit of processing to do.
He's on guard.
Yeah, but Vanya of course still has no memory of all of that. And then Allison and Klaus arrive pretty tipsy with Five. So the gang is finally all back together.
Yeah.
In the 1963.
Five eps in.
There's a bit of uplifting music. It's a big moment. Vanya and Allison hug, which is nice because, again, that's the first time they've seen each other since...
they almost killed each other. Mainly Vanya almost killing Allison twice.
Yeah. Did they see each other in the... Well, I guess Vanya wasn't exactly herself right at the end. So yeah, the last time they'd spoken to each other was when Vanya was, almost killed her, basically.
Well, yeah, I guess the second time was more. Allison had the gun to Vanya's head, but she used it to kill her trance rather than her.
Yeah, which in
life.
Turn destroyed the world. So
yeah, that's true.
She could have just shot her. Anyway, so maybe Allison is responsible in the end.
Yeah, in the end, it was all Allison's fault.
But I guess she wasn't to know, was she? Five. This is where Five asks if Ben is there. He asks Klaus, is Ben here as well? And he's like, nah.
Yeah.
Turns out he can't time travel.
I'm pretty sure Ben was not happy about that.
Yeah. But interestingly, the other thing is like... I don't know if you would expect them to care more. They're just like, oh, not here. Oh well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of our brothers isn't here.
But I guess he died
him
years
a long
ago.
Time
yeah.
Ago.
Yeah.
It's a bonus whenever he pops in.
Yeah. To help out in battle. We then see the handler and Lila have gone somewhere. They're outside the house that the Swedes are staying at. They recall they decapitated the owner of this house.
Yes.
There's a room for rent or something.
I missed this part, but I'm just reading on a recap on the umbrellaacademy.fandom site. It says, meanwhile, the handler and Lila visit the house that the Swedes are hiding out in. Lila posts a transmission down the chimney, and when the Swedes open it, they find a photograph of Diego, the next target, and a location. I didn't see the bit where Lila dropped down the chimney. I was obviously...
Oh, you don't quite see that. Yeah, they see...
they saw him on... She was on the roof later.
Yeah, well, so that...
That was a separate roof, though.
I think it's a separate roof. No, so they look at the house and the handler is just like, you always were good at climbing, and so... And
right.
And then you see the commission memo tube or whatever drop down the chimney.
Right, I wasn't
It's just
quite,
left to the viewer to assume that she climbed up.
And I wasn't quite paying any attention. Enough attention. So, I was paying some attention. I promise.
They, I feel like they need a more secure system for their
hits. Canisters.
Yeah.
I thought it rolling down the chimney seemed a bit funny as well. Normally it comes out a tube.
Yeah, yeah.
That should have, but it was the one of the dumber seeming Swedes.
Mm.
You can really see their regrowth. Like at least two of them, you can see just the hint of dark roots.
Yeah, so they're dyeing their hair blonde.
Yeah. I assume that's the actors, like, that's in... Because that's the only thing connecting them as brothers. Right?
So they all have regrowth.
Well, I think that they're all meant to be blonde, but...
Right.
I assume they're meant to be natural blondes. But, yeah, maybe.
Maybe they...
I'm sure the budget would have been big enough to get all the way to the roots. Yeah. I mean, it's only very faint.
They could be dyeing their roots.
I don't know.
The characters?
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe it's something... Yeah, maybe that's...
Make much sense. It's a weird fashion statement, but they're weird blokes.
They are weird, yeah.
So, okay, great. So they're on to Diego basically now. They've got their marching orders. They're going to take down Diego. And yes, there's a set of coordinates. So, which is a they would assume that's where he is, and that's the way they need to go.
Right. I definitely was doing something else during this point. Because I'm just connecting it all. That's why they go to those woods.
Yeah, they go to the woods to go find him.
Where they find the knife.
Where they find the knife. Yes, that's
which
right.
Lila had stolen from it Diego is, and given to Chelsea Handler.
It's a trap. Five.
That's a trap.
So the group is all back together. Five is explaining, once again, the end of the world. It's coming in 6 days. The only lead they have is this film that was given to them by Hazel, which shows that their dad was there on the grassy knoll and obviously is somehow intertwined with the assassination of JFK. Also, the evidence they collected scoping out the Mexican consulate. They heard them talking about a plan to assassinate JFK. There's still this open question. So sure, all right. So he's plotting to kill JFK, but what's that got to do with the end of the world? How do they relate?
Yeah.
So they're like, we know what we have to do. And Diego, at the same time as Five, they say we have to kill. So Diego says we have to kill Dad, and Five says we have to find Dad. So they're a bit obviously have slightly different goals there. They're sort of bickering as well about the changes that they're making to history. So they're talking a bit about, like, you know, is Allison, you know, is her political work, is that changing the events, the course of history? Is it something that they're doing that is going to lead to the end of the world, right?
I mean, it's like they've all, if you believe the butterfly effect, they've all made huge butterfly flaps, haven't they?
Yeah. But it could be like The Simpsons, where he just goes nuts and destroys everything, and then it's all back to normal, except everyone has really long lizard tongues.
Yeah. So, or the donuts rain.
Yeah, that was one of them. That was, but that was before, man, that was tragic.
That's one of the saddest moments of TV.
Yeah. Heartbreaking. If only he'd stayed for 30 seconds longer.
Seconds longer.
Two seconds longer. Anyway. So and this is where Diego is kind of explaining that he reckons that they've been sent back in time for a reason. He thinks that they're all connected to JFK, his assassination somehow, and that his solution is to save JFK and or kill his dad. I guess they're his top priorities. Maybe he assumes that killing his dad is the way to save JFK if his dad is actually
the weird thing is JFK dies.
Yeah.
So
correct.
Wouldn't saving JFK be the thing that changes the timeline, not letting him die?
I would think so. I think Diego seems a bit sort of confused. He says here, he's like, I'm a hero. I have to stop crime. He feels like he has a calling or something, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's what he's supposed to do. So I guess he's less concerned about, you know, keeping historical events the way they should be, I guess, and more about stopping an injustice or something, right? But he still wants to kill his dad. So
that's a bonus.
Yeah. Five explains that it's a Russian nuke that it's not Vanya doing something, it's not them doing something. It's like a war basically that sort of breaks out. We don't know what causes it, right? They can't. So what they need to do is find Sir Reggie because he will know. He knows things, right? So that's Five's thing. He just wants to find Reggie and get that information or work with him or whatever, right? Whereas Diego's more like, let's kill Reggie and save JFK and then the world will be saved. I don't know. Diego seems I'm on Five's side here, basically.
Yeah. Maybe he thinks that JFK will somehow stop the Russians or the Soviets, but that doesn't happen too late, surely.
Yeah.
It's very confusing. I don't really understand that.
It doesn't seem like 6 days is enough time. Because it's like, because this is, we're talking about the same day, right? Like the day JFK is assassinated is the day the world ends, it seems. Yeah. But,
yeah, there's all this stuff that I guess we're almost meant to just take as truth, not really question it, but it's clearly not going to work out that way. I think they're missing things. These main characters
don't have all the information.
No, and they're sort of going off half-cocked with the little information they have.
Yeah.
Their dad was on the grassy knoll, so that means they've got to stop him killing JFK to stop the end of the world.
That's Diego's broken logic, yeah, though, right? Like, I think Five is thinking fairly clearly in that we need more information, we need to find out what's going on, let's find Reggie.
Yeah, he did say it could be anything, we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It could be anything surrounding it.
So Luther bails from this. He's not super interested in any of it, I suppose.
Yeah, it was interesting because it's sort of the flip of how it went down in the first season where he was the one, everyone left him.
That's right.
He's like, come on, we got to do this. This is what we're here for. This time everyone stays and he leaves.
Yeah. I guess he's kind of burnt out at this point. His life is a bit in tatters somewhat.
And he throws Five tries to stop him. He picks Five up and throws him down the stairs. I guess knowing that Five can space jump to safety.
Which he does. He space jumps to an alleyway, which is where he sees Lila on a rooftop. And
she loves to climb. Very good at it.
She loves to climb. That's what she does. But she sees him. They make eye contact and she keeps running and then she's down on the ground.
She moves too quick, right?
She moves too quick.
That's right. So I was thinking, I'm like, can she space jump? Or is there a second Lila?
I think.
And I thought that was about to be revealed later, and it wasn't. But I'll tell you when I thought that was going to happen.
Okay. Oh, right. Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. That's what you're saying. She moves very quickly. Anyway, but she's also sort of clearly luring Five somewhere. They make eye contact. She runs away. So he's going to go track her down. He's intrigued. Vanya, Klaus, and Allison get tacos.
Yeah. They after discussing tacos won't. If we get tacos, that won't bring on the end of the world, will it?
How could it?
If I was in one half of that family, the two way it split up after that meeting, I would have chosen the taco half for sure.
Yeah, they look like they're having a good time. So they wander off, and Ben is sort of left there alone, of course. But he says he misses them. So anyway,
yeah,
it's kind of a nice little thing.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Diego catches up with Luther, so Luther's sort of on his way out, and they're arguing. This is where sort of Diego's saying how he sort of sees things. He thinks he's a hero, and he has this duty to save JFK. And he notices that there's a black car that's been
and he's
following them.
Like, he sees that as proving they're on the right track somehow.
Yeah, he's like, we're on the right track.
Everything. He's got optimism bias, or whatever it's called, where anything is like, yeah, this is proof.
Confirmation bias.
It's proof we're doing it right. And then, this great, interesting-looking old fella gets out there.
Very frail old man.
Yeah, great look. What a cool... Yeah, something about him was fantastic. He got out of the car and he handed them a letter, which was an invitation from their dad, Sir Reggie, the eccentric billionaire. Inviting them to a dinner in a few days' time.
A light supper.
Light supper. And Lucas disappointingly said, light supper.
Yeah.
Bit of fun. But he didn't address them as my kids, he said, or by their name. He said, to my pursuers.
Yeah. So, which checks out. So Reggie, he doesn't seem to know who they are.
No, but I just wonder, did he think more about what Luther said to him?
Yeah, so we now know that he's had two encounters, right? He said with Luther and also with Five.
Yeah, so maybe it's adding up a bit to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows what he's thinking, but obviously he is interested enough to invite them for some sort of a chat. So that'll be interesting to see how that all unfolds. Then or it could just be a trap. I feel like it's not beyond him to just make that a trap.
That felt like a trap. Lila running and enticing Five seemed like a trap, which I guess it kind of was. Then we cut to the hairdressing salon where Vanya, Klaus, and Allison are there getting drunk, and it ends up being just becoming another dance montage.
Yeah.
Probably the least satisfying of them so far.
They're just hanging out. I thought it was a fun scene. I like... it's nice when shows get to this point where the characters are kind of developed enough where the characters can kind of just have sort of an open conversation about each other, if that makes sense. There's my favorite episode of Frasier is the season finale of the first season. Is an episode, it's called My Coffee with Niles, and the whole episode is just Frasier and Niles at the cafe with the other characters sort of popping in as well. But basically the whole episode is just the two of them talking about each other and their lives and stuff. And it's like,
it's really... one of the classic bottle episodes. Isn't
yeah.
It?
Yeah. It's really nice when you've followed the characters for a while, and obviously the writers have gotten really confident with them or comfortable with them. And they've developed to that point where you can write a scene that's just them talking to it. You know, it's not plot. It's not driving the plot really. It's just like building their relationship a bit, or just having a conversation about each other and their lives is so nice.
Now remind me, what kind of things were they conversing about at the hairdressers? They're all a bit tipsy. They just had their tacos, I guess.
Yeah, I forget the specifics.
I think, but in the end, they all decide that the end of the world's coming, so they may as well just tell the truth. Vanya was going to tell Sissy that she loves her.
Mm.
Klaus was going to face his cult to tell them that the world actually isn't ending in 2019, like he told him. It's actually coming a bit sooner. Or maybe he meant that he was going to go on and say, hey, it's all bullshit. I actually am just a time traveler.
Right, yeah.
Which surely would sound just as magical. And Allison was also going to tell the full story to Ray, which is how the episode ends soon after, with Allison saying, I've been thinking about it a lot. I want to tell you all the truth. It just feels like this is a too big of a truth for people to take on. Surely Ray's just going to be like, why say you're going to tell me the truth if you're going to come up with this bullshit? Like, why would he be like, oh, Oh, you're from the future.
Yeah, I feel
okay.
like his version of events is probably more believable, even though it's kind of far-fetched itself. So, you know, he thinks that she's in cahoots with the police and trying to undermine their operation, which seems a bit thin, but more believable than time travel.
And then once they've decided all this, they have a dance montage to Sam Cooke's Twistin' the Night Away, which is a good song. Yeah.
It's good music this week.
It is good. They were good tunes. But if for some reason, I don't know why, I just felt like this one was shoehorned in a bit. Like, they know we like a few of these montages from the first season, so they squeezed one in. It was fun still. But
yeah, I thought it was overall a fun scene in the salon.
Then we go back to the Swedes. And they're tracking down Diego like they were told to via this canister, or like they think, which they think's from the commission, but obviously was from Chelsea Handler.
We don't know at this stage what exactly their actual orders are, do we?
No.
Because they're sort of vaguely...
One of them was to kill Vanya at one point. So I guess...
How do we know that?
Remember, that's it. When they ran, she drove off the road. That was because they were coming to kill her.
Right. So, but I wonder if their orders are to kill the Umbrella Academy as a group, or if their orders are just generally stop this thing from happening, and they're working backwards from that.
I thought we saw them get a canister with Vanya's photo.
Maybe we did.
I thought we did.
Maybe. I don't remember.
This is the problem with watching. Normal binging means I've seen all these five episodes in the last day and a half. But because we're watching one a week, it was like so long ago.
Maybe you're right. I can picture that, but I don't know if my brain is making that up. Anyway, but they think that their new mission is, to track down Diego. They go to the woods to these coordinates, and they stop because they see Diego's knife in a tree. And so that one of them goes up to investigate, and he explodes as some sort of a trip mine or something.
Yes. And he explodes only at the lower part of his leg survives.
Yeah. It's interesting. I would have thought the top part would have survived. I mean, I'd imagine none of it would have survived, but I mean, the...
Because the fire, the explosion's coming from below.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know if this checks out. Anyway, there's a leg there.
Well, I'm not a scientist, so I'm willing to accept this. Maybe it's just an easier prosthetic to make.
I'm fine. It does not...
Because then they end up taking it, floating it off in a lake and shooting an arrow at it to set off a fire, seems like some sort of a funeral ceremony.
Yeah, it's like it's quite an emotional send-off. They sort of have...
One of the two is emotional. The long-haired tall one is emotional, and the other, the leader-seeming guy, is pretty stoic about it.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing that was the Valhalla... reference.
Yeah.
What were you thinking it might have been?
I thought there might have been a loose connection to the Odyssey, Homer's Odyssey, the book that he was reading. But I didn't actually catch the title of the book, even though you can see it. I didn't catch what it said, but I thought maybe it had something to do with that.
That's possible too.
Often the titles link to the the flashbacky bits, but. I like that through the when they're having their sort of send off for their lost brother, the music playing is a Swedish cover of Hello by Adele.
Yeah,
that was a nice touch.
I was trying to put my finger on what that song was.
Yeah,
Adele. Hello, side. I'm Adele.
Yeah, that's it.
Hello, I'm Swedish Adele.
It's like she's in the room.
But the Swedish cover was by Maja Kalsvik.
After the scene where the Swede blows up, it cuts back to Lila having lured Five to a warehouse. I don't think, is it a specific place or it just looks like
doesn't
a warehouse?
Doesn't seem to be, yeah.
They fight it out. It's just like, Luigi may as well have a fight here. It was a nice little fight scene with a cover of Bad Guy by Billie Eilish. It's a bit of fun.
Yeah, they love a cover, don't they? And he's space jumping all around, but every time he space jumps, she moves from where she was. I'm like, how is she doing this? She got and before she moved from the roof to running down the opposite street so quickly.
Yeah, she's outmaneuvering him. Like he jumps to her position, and she's gone already.
Yeah,
like she's
so how is
than
this
him.
Possible? We're not seeing her. vanish or run or anything. No. So it's unclear as to how she's doing it. And then Zoe gets a big metal rod, he space jumps and goes to smash her, but she's already moved. And then he ends up getting his foot on her throat somehow. And she says, "You're better than I realized." And he goes, "You can come out now." And I'm like, oh, this is where it's revealed that there's a second.
There's a twin Lila. Yeah, right.
But it wasn't. It was her mum, Chelsea Handler. She comes out.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they reunite.
They haven't seen each other for a while, have they? Five and the Handler?
No, not since the 50s. No, probably 2019.
Yeah, when was their last interaction? Was it when they stopped time out in the, was it out in the desert or something, that whole thing? Or was that, no, it was after that because, oh, when he blasted out of the commission.
Yeah, right, it's back in the 50s.
I wonder if, so does he think she's dead?
Yeah, who's seen her?
And yeah, I'm trying to think if they've crossed paths again.
But he was not at all surprised to see her. No, he'd figured out that there was some connection.
He didn't even have to look. He was like,
"You can come out now. Yeah. You can smell her or something." So she would have a scent. She pisses a lot. We know that about her. So maybe she has a distinctive scent. Whatever being full of piss.
That's kind of the end of the dramatic end of that scene.
Yeah, so we don't know. I'm guessing she's about to explain to Five what's going on. And maybe, do they end up on the same team? Are they working together somehow? But if that was the case, why not just come out, just go find him straight up and say,
"Yeah,
let's work together."
Why send out Lila and say, "Go protect Five"?
Like, really, what makes sense? It's
confusing. I guess Lila is more, perhaps more capable in a fight. You know, if you're expecting the Swedes to rock up, I'm not sure how handy the Handler is.
But if the Handler knows more stuff and she was trying to work with Five, why not just go up to Five and say, "Hey, here's all the info I've got."
Yeah.
She just doesn't work that way, I guess.
I don't know what's going on there. We'll find out next episode, I suppose. We also see, Vanya goes back to the house with Sissy, but Carl is home, and Sissy is still sleeping with him.
Not in the act, like she's, not, oh, not she's out in the kitchen.
Yeah, yeah.
He's in the bedroom.
But Vanya, you can see that it's like, oh, you're still, you know, but you don't love him anymore sort of thing. But Sissy feels like she's trapped. And, you know, this whole talk about them running away together and stuff, she's like, we can't, you know, it's be realistic sort of thing.
It was just nice talk to, you know, fantasy talk.
Yeah, yeah. So, what do you do with Harlan in that situation? Do they take him with them?
I assume so.
I guess so.
And then, Vanya ends up walking away.
But she's like, she's without saying the world is ending, she's like, we only have 6 days. Yeah. Let's, you know. She's trying to.
Which would just sound baffling.
Yeah.
What do you mean? 6 days till what?
Yeah. So Sissy refuses to go with her. She's like, no, I can't. I've got my life here or whatever.
And then we see, is it the final scene? We see Allison talking to Raymond Chestnut Ray saying,
"Yeah, so
I'm going to tell you everything."
Yeah. And we also see Klaus going back to the mansion with his followers as well as a brief little.
And they're stoked to see him. But yeah, we don't see any of them. We don't see either of those two tell the truth.
Yeah, we don't see how that's going to pan out.
I imagine that's how next episode will kick off. Actually, probably more likely, like most episodes, there'll be a flashback and someone's origin story.
Whose origin story do you think it'll be?
So there's two cons. They either do a character's origin story or a character's origin story on this timeline. What happened to them after they arrived? Have we got all seven of them now? All six?
So we know what Klaus did. We know Luther, Vanya's story we have.
We've had two versions of Luther's because we had the extra part today where he went to see his dad as well.
Yeah, I guess they could do a double
flashback.
I'm trying to remember exactly what happened with Five. When he...
He came, but that's how the season started. He came back straight into that battle, yeah.
And then
spoke to Hazel.
And then he suitcased back?
No, the suitcase got shot at. And he said, right. I told him to make him bulletproof. And then he...
How did he jump?
Hazel did something? No, Hazel and him went back in time and then the suitcase got...
Oh, that's right, because the Swedes rock up. Yep. Yeah, gotcha. So, okay, so we have seen scene five.
Allison, we saw...
Scene of a pretty good...
Yeah, well, I think we probably have seen them all now.
Maybe it'll be like Ray's origin story.
Oh, yeah, it'd be cool to know Ray a little bit more.
Or Carl. Let's find out a bit more about Carl. I want to know what his story is.
What about Elliot?
I want to know about this deal. Yeah. These shower accessories.
The next episode is just... It's a bottle episode set in the shower accessory shop. That would be pretty great.
I'd enjoy that.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic. The other songs we heard, you did mention the Bad Guy cover. Mm-hmm. By The Interrupters. We also had Hey Da Da by Andrea Litkai and Irvin Litkai. He Can't Love You by Four Holidays and Major Tom Coming Home by Peter Schilling.
Yep. Good tunes.
Yeah. Really good episode of music. But yeah, that was I enjoyed that. I thought that was a good episode. It was another moving episode, It wasn't a lot of big action, but it just felt like it was an episode just moving us from the start of the story towards the back end, right?
Yeah.
I'm not putting that into words very well. It's like a bridging episode or something.
Yeah. It's propelling everything forward and lots of...
What all episodes are?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes things don't happen, but...
Plenty of stuff did happen.
But good character stuff as well. Like
they normally spoil us with so much action.
Yeah.
So the last two have felt slightly slower, but...
The action was good, though. The fight scene with Lila and Five was great.
That was good stuff.
Bit of fun.
Yeah. All right, well, yeah, so I enjoyed that. We've stopped giving them scores, but it was... The last one was my least favourite in a while, but this one was back up with my favourites again, I reckon.
Sorry, I'm just getting distracted. So the very start of this episode with Pogo the Chimp is 1962. So that's happened while...
Some of them are there.
Yeah, so yeah. Allison landed in 1961, Luther landed in 1962. So Diego, Vanya and Five, not till 63. But that's interesting. This is relatively recent... history that happened.
And they would have potentially, depending on how famous it was, that Pogo's name might have been in the news.
I wonder why, I wonder if, yeah, if Pogo, why did Reggie do this? What, you know, like is Pogo somehow related to this plot to assassinate JFK? Is he somehow related to the coming apocalypse?
Why did he give him the injection to save his
life? Yeah, why did... What does he care? What's his interest in this?
Well, his girlfriend was her, prize...
Oh, it was too.
...chimp.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that.
He seems to be in the team working with it.
And when Luther confronts him at the party in the flashback, he says, I know all about your
what a great moment.
Or something
we really should have... We should have led with this. Yeah, he said... I know all about your work with monkeys. And he said, apes.
Yeah, yeah.
He corrected him. It was great work. Surely, I mean, Luther lived his whole life with Pogo.
Yeah.
He was the only one who lived in the academy his whole life until we met them in season one. And he never knew that chimps weren't monkeys. Feels like Luther would have known. I mean, he is an ape man.
Well, what we don't know is that possibly... After this point in time, Sir Reggie does a lot of work with monkeys. And Reggie doesn't know it yet. But Luther knows it.
Yes.
And so Sir Reggie, you know, corrects him.
Yep.
But maybe...
And Luther's just the bigger man.
Yeah, he just...
He could say, well, I was actually referring to your work with the monkeys through the 70s and 80s. But he doesn't. He goes, all right, no, fair enough. You're with apes at the moment. That's fine. I know chimpanzees aren't monkeys. I was actually talking about your work with the spider monkeys in future decades. I'm sorry. All right. So thanks for reminding me of that scene. It was a classic moment. It's a moment I've lived myself many times over on this podcast. They're actually apes. So here's a few comments based on this episode in particular. You can comment via the link below if you have any comments or questions, and you can let us know which episode you want me to read it out on. It'll be better if it's an episode we haven't done yet. That will make it a lot easier.
We're not time travelers.
No. So this first one comes from Xavier Zayas from Rochester in New York.
Zayas.
I wonder if he's a doctor. Dr. Zayas writes, "Hello. Been loving your half-baked recap of the Umbrella Academy and had some questions." Holy half-baked? I feel like we overbake it, if anything. It feels like do recaps normally talk about the plot in this sort of tedious level?
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess they do. Anyway, I couldn't handle talking about it anymore, but maybe that's what he means. So Dr. Zayas asks, what do you think the serum is that he gives Pogo? If it was meant to save Pogo, then why did it give him intelligence but not Luther? That is...
Is he saying Luther's dumb?
Well, he's just saying he didn't give Luther any extra intelligence. He says, yeah. That is if it was the same serum. Keep up the great work in these hard times. Thank you so much, Xavier Zayas.
So we talked about this. We're not really sure. It seems like like the opposite. It's like the same, but
because it doesn't make him hulking or anything either. He keeps the same form.
Yeah, it's like Pogo got a human serum and Luther got an ape serum. Mm.
As a chimp he got human like brains, and as a human Luther got ape like strength.
I wonder if in either of these cases, I wonder if that was intended to happen, or if it's just they just wanted to save his life, and this is kind of an unintended side effect.
Yeah. I wonder if that'll become clear.
Because Luther was kind of fine before that. Maybe it was intentional for Pogo, but you know, for Luther, it was just like, right, maybe that's all they had, sort of thing.
And yes.
Because Luther, while it's nice to have the extra hulkiness or whatever, like he was still, like that was his power, was he was strong before that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem to have, I mean, it's, you know, he's put it to use in the 60s, but really it sort of made him more of an outcast, his makes him harder to fit in, literally in small places, but also just in society.
Yeah, he cannot buy off the rack anymore.
No. Still a lot of mystery there. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, interesting. Good question, Xavier. I wonder if that'll become clear. It kind of seems like it would just be the same serum. Like this is the one big invention Reggie's made, and he just keeps, whenever there's a problem, he injects it with his magic serum, and he's not quite sure what'll happen. The next message comes from Kamau Natwiga from Toronto in Canada. And Kamau writes, "Hey, Matt and Evan, my question for you guys is, since the Commission can time travel, it is possible that not all of their agents are from the same time. Maybe they even picked them up from thousands of years ago and brought them to the more current times. For example, the Handler may have been from the 1400s, but they just brought her to now, and she does work in the 20th and 21st century. So my question for you is, what time period do you think Cha-Cha and Hazel are from?"
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess I always kind of had this view that the Commission kind of just exists out of time, but it seems to be sort of very 1950s in its styling. The people, the agents and stuff, I guess they are from all different times. I mean, Five is from present day. Is when the first season is set, right? Like at 2017, 2018, or whatever. 2019. Yeah, right. So whereas, you know, obviously Hazel and Cha-Cha would have been from earlier. Maybe they're from the future.
They've got a slight future. To me, I'd never considered that at all.
No, I haven't thought about this.
The question has made me think something about them does seem slightly futuristic.
What?
I don't know. Just their attitude or something. They just seem like they're cold-blooded killers from the future. Terminator style.
Yeah, maybe.
Which I haven't seen, but
just assume people in the future are cold-blooded killers.
I don't know why. Why do I mistrust the future so much?
I still feel like they're...
distrust.
I feel like they fit in with the Commission 1950s vibe.
Right.
I don't know what it is about them. It's interesting because they don't... No one uses much technology in the show, but that's because there isn't much technology in the show. So it's hard to judge it by that. And their outfits, they're wearing suits, which are classic, not from any particular time period. They know how to drive. I'm trying to think of what kind of clues there are as to what. But I don't know. I'm going to say the 50s.
Well, I just had a little thought. I'm like, when did the cha-cha dance originate?
Ah.
1953.
Yeah, right.
So maybe
when were Hazel's invention?
Oh, hazelnuts?
Yeah, hazelnuts.
Hazelnuts. This is going to be harder, I think. In 1995, evidence of large-scale Mesolithic nut processing, some 8,000 years old, was found in a midden pit on the island of Colonsay in Scotland. Okay, so, yeah, maybe 8,000 years back.
So hang on, 1995?
That was when the evidence was found.
Oh, right.
8,000-year-old nut processing. So probably older than 8,000 years.
Wow.
So he's really coming from, yeah, quite a while back. If you can go on, you go off that.
But they do age, right? Like they do.
Yeah, well,
but they
Hazel
can time
was...
travel, so we do. So that doesn't even help. Like, yeah, because he's an old man at the start of this.
He ages in normal time. He said that a nice 20 years. So
Yeah.
He actually ages probably faster than you'd expect. But we didn't really know how old he was meant to be initially.
This is making my head hurt.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the question, Kamau. Kamau also writes, P.S. Their numbers are for the milliseconds that they are born.
What? Milliseconds? What?
Then he says, P.S. Their numbers are for the milliseconds they are born. So...
Hang on, like the number of milliseconds after... Milliseconds. That's.
But I mean, this is from a comic book. You know, I'm guessing in the original comic books, it must have said something like that. But I mean, how would that have been recorded?
Yeah. How?
So, the example of a birth we saw was a young girl getting instantly pregnant and giving birth in a pool. No one there was checking the millisecond of time.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing that must have just been in the comic books, what it must have said.
It's part of the lore or something.
Yeah, interesting. Thank you so much for that one, Kamau. This one comes from Lee in Swakopmund. Swakopmund.
What?
I'm going to have to Google where that's from. I didn't specify. Have you heard of Swakopmund?
No.
It's in Western Namibia.
Oh, wow.
Swakopmund. Cool. Lee writes, hey guys, just writing to advise against watching a singular Avatar The Last Airbender episode.
We were talking about this last week, weren't we? We were talking about how we thought it would be good and we should watch it. Is that?
Yeah. And someone suggested we do it and we're like, oh, maybe we can find out what the best episode should be.
All right. Well, what's Lee got to say?
He says, it is a very serialized show and I don't think you guys will be as amazed as people would like you to be and they might be a bit annoyed with you just jumping into one episode.
Oh, right. So he's saying don't just watch one episode. Yeah. You should watch all of it if you're going to watch it. Right.
Answering Evan's question.
I thought he was like, don't watch a single episode.
Oh, no.
Because it's...
No, he said just writing to advise against watching a singular episode.
Oh, okay, right.
He says, answering Evan's question, it is very good for a periphery adult demographic and deals with quite serious topics, war, xenophobia, genocide, colonialism, etc. And never talks down to its audience. But it's still aimed towards children and told from the perspective of children, especially in the beginning. So if childlike silliness isn't in your wheelhouse, leave it behind. I will say I cannot think of a single person, especially adult watchers, who have been disappointed after finishing the 3 seasons of the series. It has good animation, good music, great world building, and a fantastic lore.
Right. Also, did he mean a single person, or like he doesn't know a single person?
He doesn't know a singular person. Are you wondering if he met many married people,
yeah,
who hated it? But the single market, they all love it. Says also, to add a bit of info, Umbrella Academy, both seasons, run about 18 hours, while he's called it ATLA, and I forgot what that stands for. Avatar The Last Airbender. While Avatar The Last Airbender, that's a great initialism, ATLA.
Yeah.
Atla. But then when we say Atla, then it becomes the, what's the word for initialisms that you turn into a word?
Acronym.
I love that distinction.
Yeah, it's a great distinction.
It's one
of my favorite distinctions.
Dave Warnocky from Friendship and from Our Lives. He told me that ages ago.
It's a nice thing to be able to correct people on, because everyone just says it's an acronym.
Actually, that's an initialism. So it runs at 30 hours. Oh, yeah, that's interesting. So I guess
the whole series.
His point is there's way more episodes because the episodes go for 20 minutes. But just if you think about it in hours, it is way less intimidating than it might seem. That being said, anything you guys do, I enjoy. Mandalorian is just as good of a pick if you guys enjoy it more.
Love, I just watched the first episode last night.
I'm gonna hold back in case we do.
I forgot about that.
If we do a what was the working title? Binge Boys.
I forgot all about that.
Mate, Binge Boys, as bad as it is, I bet you is already taken as a podcast name.
Probably.
Thank you very much, Lee, for that message. And is this one more message about from this episode? This is from Anna Lima in Brazil. I think everyone's messaging from a different country. That's pretty nice. What an international podcast we're doing today. And none from Australia.
Yeah.
We're hated in our own country.
There is a podcast called Binge Boys.
There is?
Yes.
Oh, damn. They got there first.
It's on Twitter. The little subtitle is the world's okayest podcast. There you go.
Oh, they've beaten us to that too.
I can't straight away see what it is, but it looks like they're watching things and rating them. So
yeah.
It's pretty self-explanatory, really.
So this message is from Anna Lima in Brazil. And Anna writes, "Hey guys, I'm so glad you finally got to this episode. I've been waiting for this since you two started the season one reviews.
Oh, wow.
I love that pogo sequence. It is a great sequence. It's like a short film. They do that a bit. They'll do a 2-minute mini film.
Yeah.
Even though I've watched season two twice, I've seen the pogo backstory at least 5 times. Sometimes just to bring up my mood. It's all very sweet, and the CGI quality is outstanding." Yeah, I agree. It's great.
It does look good, yeah.
And one benefit they have from, season one, Pogo CGI was great as well. But in season one, they had to make Pogo speak. And that was the bit where it was a little bit iffy.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's always going to look a bit unnatural, isn't it?
Yeah, because watching a chimps can't speak. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Anna goes on to write, it's all very sweet and the CGI quality is outstanding and the soundtrack, Major Tom by Peter Schilling, fits perfectly. Now the only uneasy thing about it is to realize Hargreaves seems to be a better father to Pogo than he ever was to his kids.
That's true.
Yeah, that is true. He's a great loving dad, reading him stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he hates children.
Maybe something happens. No, he already does hate children. But he just seems happier with Grace. They're like, maybe Grace dies and it breaks his heart and that He's already lost. You know, he already lost his one wife at the start of. Was that in last season or this season? Last season. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right.
He lost one love. Yeah. Maybe if Grace dies tragically, maybe he just becomes broken from that or something.
Hmm.
Anyway, yeah, that is true. He definitely does seem to be a better dad to Pogo. Maybe he's not much of a fan of human primates. I mean, we can't all be as good as Andy from Toy Story. Now I've seen you guys discussing about the way Hargreaves named / numbered the kids. As far as I know, it seems to be named. It seems he named them out of convenience and as an experiment / manipulation. Luther is number one, so he can be the daddy's boy he is, always following Hargreaves blindly, while Diego, as number two, will always strive to prove himself and constantly compete with Luther for the leadership spot. Allison, as number three, is much higher up than Vanya, which makes her act more like an older sister and have more confidence, which is something Hargreaves never wanted Vanya to have.
And yeah, it does seem like Allison does seem like an older sister. Of course, they're all exactly the same age.
Yeah, I forget that all the time. Yeah. Some seem younger and older, and it kind of does work based on the numbering a little bit.
Yeah, five seems so much younger than all the
others. Yeah, he really does. He's got a real youthful exuberance. Klaus and Five, the two more powerful out of the boys, being right in the middle, makes them not really care about their position in the family. It's a nice way to keep them grounded that clearly works since they behave completely opposite to Luther and Diego, the least powerful ones. As for Ben, number six, he and Vanya behave as the younger children. It's funny how the number system makes them act as older, middle and young child, even though they're the exact same age. Ben's position makes him susceptible to others, especially Hargreaves and Luther, and that might have something to do with his death. Might.
Yeah, we still don't know how he died, right?
Who's that?
Ben.
No, I don't think we do.
So that's definitely a mystery. And then the other thing is, so they've got numbers and they've got two names. They've got their actual names and then they've got their superhero names.
Yeah.
But where did they...
Lots of options.
So Reggie gave them their numbers. Did Grace give them their real names? Is that...
Maybe. Is that what someone told us?
I don't know.
But yeah, it's like what Anna or Anna's sort of saying here. It's kind of... Yeah, it's like the labeling theory. You end up, if that's what people call you, that's sort of what you end up being.
Yeah.
You sort of like you fit the naming convention or whatever.
Yeah.
Anna goes on. Anyways, the message is really already too long. I just wanted to share how interesting is the way that the kids' naming / numbering is a big influence on their behavior. Just to end this with a fun fact. People mistakenly believe that Five doesn't have a name because he left before they got names, but he came back knowing the others' names. According to Gerard Way, he rejected the name Grace gave him and never really found a new, more suitable one, so he just kept being Five. Oh, there you go. It doesn't like Grace. Okay,
I vaguely remember I was talking about that. Interesting.
Thanks for the amazing recap, guys. I'm really enjoying this primate season. If you guys are considering reading the comics, I highly recommend it. They are not very long. It would probably take around an afternoon to finish it all. Oh, wow.
Oh,
wow, all
right.
Or at least you guys could read the Prime 8's short story about Diego and Vanya's band. If you read this whole thing, thanks very much. I really enjoy the show. All the love from Brazil, Anna. Thanks so much, Anna. That was a very lovely message.
Yeah.
That was very nice. The messages for this have been really good. I'm so glad we opened them up to these because definitely making me want to keep doing it. Apart from also enjoying the shows, and it's been great catching up with you, Evan, through lockdown. It's great to see you in person. There's a few other general ones there that I was going to do, but I'll save them for next week because there's only one at this point message specific to episode 6. So if you do have any thoughts about episode 6 or the last 5 episodes, like I say, send a message through on that link below and we will get to them. Anything else you need to say, Evan? Gamer Games is on break, but it's coming. GamerGame.com.
It's coming. We're gonna try and do another episode soon.
You do a Christmas episode every year normally.
Yeah, we do normally. We normally do a Halloween one. We sort of missed that. But we're gonna try. It's a big time in gaming at the moment because the new consoles come out next week. The PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X. So I want to do an episode when those are out. So keep an eye out. We're gonna try and shoot something, but I don't know exactly when yet.
You're waiting on the results of the U.S. presidential election, though, aren't you? Before you,
yeah. Who knows? It's all up in the air.
It is all up in the air, but you'll be twitching about that on Saturday morning. You're doing a live Twitch from...
I don't think I can this Saturday because, you know what we're doing this Saturday is on sospresents.com. We've got Jude Pearl's live show.
Oh, yes.
She's great. You're going to be on that.
Yeah, I'm hosting the Q&A at the end of it.
Yeah, so that's I don't think I'll be able to stream on Saturday just because we'll be very busy getting ready for that. But if you're out there and you're interested in maybe you've never heard of Jude Pearl, maybe you have. She's great. She's such a great performer. She's doing a show called Roommates. It's so good. I love Jude so much. She's impressive as a performer, as a singer and musician,
comedian, and but musical and great, just talented in all ways.
Yeah, just one of those people who's too much talent for one person.
A bit frustratingly talented, actually.
So we're live streaming her show. It's going to be actually live from our studio here at Stupid Old Studios. So go to sospresents.com. There's also Double Denim. Michelle Brazier and Laura Frood are doing a show the following week. And if you're a fan of Xavier Michaelides, his show, which we shot a little while ago, actually, has just gone up as a on-demand, video on demand.
It's a great show.
It is a good show. It's a lot of fun.
Lock up your daughters.
A lot of classic Xavier bits in there.
Great bit.
So that's a lot of fun too. So
yeah, there's heaps of stuff on there now. There's a whole back catalogue of Do Go Ons. Yes. The Primates 100th episode is still up there.
Oh, yes. With me on it.
Yeah, with you and
Andy Matthews.
Dave's Warnicky's on there and a bunch of guests with messages, including... one very special Toy Story related guest right at the end. Do Go On's also one of my other podcasts is also doing a bunch of live streams coming up, a world tour of sorts, all live from Stupid Old Studios.
Yeah.
And yeah, so go to SOS Presents and buy tickets to all of them. Why not? If you go to if you want to do the Do Go On ones, you get a season pass for all four streams for the price of three. And that is good value.
It's a pretty good deal.
That's a pretty good
deal. It's a lot of entertainment. They tend to go for a little while.
Yeah.
Last time when you were doing those, you were doing a bit of like a Q&A at the end sometimes. And
we did a few different things. We did some quizzes and we did a...
yeah, the quiz was good.
Fact game. We've done all sorts of things.
So a little bit more on top of the actual podcast itself.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, there's a bunch of it's just exclusive to it. And obviously all the vision is exclusive to the stream.
Yeah, if you like looking at stuff.
But yeah, the Primates one, I remember that being a lot of fun. It was going to be the last episode for quite a while.
And well, then, it was.
Yeah, 3 or 4 months maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway, put all that to one side. Let's wrap up here today. Thanks so much for being here, Evan. What a pleasure been. We'll see you all next week. But as we always say here at Primates Podcast,
we're back in the monkey house, baby.
Podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want, it's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.